Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the coastline near Los Angeles is under consideration for national park status, and Airbnb's business is growing, but it's the category of business that is growing that will surprise you. Those stories and more next in the news.
More and more airlines, hotels, and attractions are figuring out ways to goose travelers out of a few more bucks. In our Smarter Traveler spot at 11:20, we alert you to bogus charges appearing on restaurant bills in Las Vegas and Seattle. We call out the offenders and tell you why you should do the same.
United Airlines is making some significant changes in their Mileage Plus frequent flyer program starting in April. And it's United's credit card holders that will benefit the most. Tom, what a surprise. Tom and I will discuss the pros and cons at 11:35.
Egypt is an exotic destination that's on many travelers' want-to-visit list. At 11:45, Sydney Schellinger from The Poodle booked it. Joins us to talk about her recent visit to Egypt.
Great information on how to make your next adventure a little smoother and a little more spectacular. Right here on today's edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
With the show.
Hey there, my friends, live and in living radio. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, always brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. Don't forget now you can check us out at travelguysradio.com. Podcasts of past programs always available there. You can also find them at Sacktown Sports 1140s. Website as well. Mark, good to see you there. How was your week?
Good to see you, Tom. It was good. It was good. A little stretch here in the off season of being in town and getting a lot of things done. You know, those of you who run your own business know that it's great to have a great staff around you, but when they're not there, you can get a lot more done. So it's weekends and off season and stuff like that, putting together adventures for future destinations.
Well, you know, Mark and I have talked about this before. He spends more time on the road, taking travelers different places all over the country, and for him to be home for more than a week or two, he starts to get a little stir crazy. It's not his norm. So how you holding up there,
my neighbors look at me guy? like my neighbors look at me like, how come you're here all the time now suddenly? I mean, you know, it's like they even say hello to, they know who I am. Hey, listen, I wanted to, you know, travel. Those of us who get the opportunity to travel, you were mentioning that they're being able to run around the country, you get to meet some really interesting folks in some great situations, and that's one of the reasons that those of us who have the travel bug have it, is that opportunity to go someplace and meet somebody that you didn't really expect. And one of those people left us this past week, and I wanted to just do a quick little shout out memorial to her. Joanne Bland is the lady's name. She lived in Selma, Alabama, and she spent almost all of her life there. And Joanne, we met her because we went down to Selma, and she narrated this wonderful tour that told us about the town and the civil rights battle and that famous day on the bridge in Selma. She was a little girl then. So that was a long time ago. And she was a little girl, and she was part of being on the bridge that day, got knocked around a little bit by police officers and the like. That was the heart of the civil rights battle. And you fast forward many years, and the people in Selma, Alabama, which is absolutely one of the poorest towns in the country, are still fighting that battle on an everyday basis. And to go there and have her share what she knew about her life and what had gone on there was just really an incredible treat. Well, treat's not the right word. It was incredibly eye-opening to be able to actually go there and hear from somebody who really had been there and had been part of the battle. And she continued to fight that battle for a long, 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 long time, many, many years, still entertained visitors to town to tell her story. And it was a great story to listen to. So to Joanne Bland, who has moved on to another life, thank you for all of the times, for all of the people that you made just a little bit smarter travelers when it came to things that had happened in your town, in your city, and in your state, and made us all perhaps a little bit better people for it. Thank you.
All right. And Mark, thank you for that. We are the Travel Guys, and at the top of every program, we do our best to bring you up to date on what's going on in the travel news. And with that being said, with today's version of the travel news, once again, Mark Hoffman.
Kyle at the board there scared the heck out of me. There was like half a second when the music didn't play, and I thought, oh my God, the music isn't going to come up. But it did. It did. It did. See, that's when you're on the radio, half a second is like a lifetime. It's like forever.
Well, unfortunately, you know, and I give these guys credit. They do a fabulous job on the board at, over there at Sactown Sports 1140. They can't see us. We can't see them.
No.
So, you know, cues are sometimes a little difficult. Anyway, what you got in this in the news, well, my friend?
And plus, you know, we used to live in a different radio station in town. And may I just say how much of a pleasure it is to be at Sactown Sports, because things here are very different. It's just a tad more, professional and reliable. And man, I just can't tell you how much difference that makes. So to Kyle and Anthony and all the folks who helped make that happen for us, you have no idea how appreciative we are of the little things that you do. All right, the travel news here. TSA agents are working out without pay. Didn't we just do this story a few months ago? The TSA agents were working without pay, and now these poor guys and gals are out there doing it again. And there doesn't seem, you know, I didn't hear a single story this week in the news about how they were negotiating to get the rest of the budget thing together so that they could pay these people and a few other government groups. And I'm just like, do they think that these people will just work forever for nothing? I mean, TSA people are just regular people. I mean, truly they are. And so so please do me one little favor. If you listen to this program and you're traveling, we did this before and I did it a couple times and got a really nice response to it. If you just go out to the airport and just say to the TSA people, just say thank you. Just say thank you for working. I know you're not getting paid right now, and I really appreciate the fact that you're here. You'll shock the heck out of them and you'll probably get a smile. That's what I got. And a thank you back. So it kind of changes what is sometimes a little bit of an adversarial situation into one that's a little bit less so. And it lets them know that you know that they're there to help you travel, even though they're not getting paid. And it may be causing some real serious issues for them.
For sure. For sure. You know, a lot of times the people are intimidated by TSA agents. You walk up and you hand them your ID or whatever, and they look at you, and for just a moment, you feel like they are looking right through you, like they know everything about you. And at any moment, they're going to tell you, step out of line, which they never do. They always said, thank you. And they'll say your name, you know, thank you, Tom. Step right this way. So, you know, don't be intimidated. Like Mark said, right now they're working for free. So, yeah, give them a thanks.
A little thank you would go a long way. Listen, if you're a top-tier flyer with Delta Airlines, this headline won't make you very happy. And really, if you're a top-tier flyer with any airline, same thing. Why Delta is scrapping near-free upgrades to boost premium revenue. What it is that the airlines now, when there are leftover first-class seats and they're getting close to the day of departure, they will go back now, Delta is already doing this, to their premium travelers, the ones who would have gotten the upgrade for free, perhaps, if it stayed there, and saying, hey, psst, come over here. You know that $800 first-class ticket? We'll give it to you for $300. And eventually, they find people who will say, hey, you know, that's a good deal. I'm going to take that. And there goes the complimentary upgrades to the high-level elite flyers that they used to get, which is one reason that they're so loyal to the airline, is because of the opportunity to get those upgrades. Those have been disappearing pretty rapidly. I'm top tier at United, and I get upgraded about half as much, maybe a third as much as I used to. it's become kind of a treat as opposed to, and also the times of the day that you fly, you know, you fly late at night or on red eyes or things like that on Wednesdays, then you're going to have a better chance. But Delta basically is telling their frequent flyers and everybody else that if we can get some money out of these seats, we're not going to give them to you. So I suspect that other carriers will follow if they haven't already, if they're not already doing this. And it only makes good business sense. If you can get money out of something, why give it away for free? Unless you've created the expectation among your best customers that that's what's going to happen, and then it doesn't happen, it'll be interesting to see if people maintain that sort of loyalty to the airlines. I put something online for you. It says 15 medication and medical device hacks to help you get through TSA airport security. I'm not going to run down the whole list today, but if you're a person who travels with medication and you have to put it in your carry-on luggage, which is what we recommend, there are some tips there that might help you get through security, particularly if you have liquid medications. The Miami airport is opening a wait and rest airside in-terminal sleep pod. So now if you're laying over in Miami for a long period of time, you can rent a sleep pod, but bring your wallet.
Yep.
Yeah, because the sleep pods are $40 an hour, and there's a four-hour minimum.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but they're in soundproof areas, and so hypothetically, you can go in and lay down, and for a few extra bucks, you could even get access to a shower, which
That's pretty awesome, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you've bought a $2,000 or $3,000 plane ticket, a couple hundred bucks probably isn't going to break your wallet. Here's a story from Airbnb that's kind of interesting. Airbnb says, boy, our sales are up and we're doing terrific. And then you dig down into the press release here and you find out that the reason Airbnb's sales are up so much is they're selling hotel rooms.
Huh?
And cities that have created things where people cannot do short-term rentals, and there's a growing number of those around the country, because what's happening is cities that already have housing shortages, people are converting regular housing to Airbnbs, which takes them off the market, which makes the housing situation only worse. So cities are fighting back by saying, hey, you can't do this. You can't rent your place under certain circumstances. You can't rent it out. So you have to live in it or let somebody else live in it. So Airbnb has gotten into the hotel room business in those cities, which may only make sense. We can't provide you with our regular product, but here's another product that we could provide for you, and we can make a profit off of it. How interesting. Airbnb is selling hotel rooms.
Wow.
Yeah. that's just kind of that story kind of made me step back and think about it, but it makes perfect sense. Here's a story from Abridged, which is KVIE PBS's new news service in Sacramento. Boy, I really, really like this. They put out some really good stuff. It's free and you can get it online, and I highly recommend it. What do you suppose is the fastest growing major airport in California over the last decade, Tom?
The fastest growing airport, Sacramento.
Yeah.
SMF.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
That'd be my guess.
More connections, especially with Southwest, has started to create, you know, flights to places like Nashville and Kansas City and Eugene, you know, nonstops to places that people look at the schedules and say, wow. You know, if I take another airline, I'm going to have to connect. And then there's that chance that, you know, your luggage, your plane, your whatever in the connection doesn't work out. And it's going to take me 7 hours to get there, or I can fly on Southwest and be there in 4 hours on a nonstop. And now you can reserve a seat on board. So Southwest has really changed the game here in Sacramento. It's been interesting to watch. They've been here now for over 30 years and they have really grown things. Another thing that's happening is we don't have a lot of international flights, but we have a bunch of them to Mexico, and many of them are red eyes, and they are growing. The number of people going to Mexico is growing by leaps and bounds. So our Sacramento airport is the fastest growing major airport in California over the last decade. So there definitely is more service, and it's a lot easier to get places than it used to be.
And that parking garage is coming along super, super fast.
Yep, it is. And then that's going to change the game again out there, because instead of having to park in the hinterlands, and take a shuttle bus. Many people will be able to park in the parking garage. Of course, if you are budget conscious, then you may want to rethink that, because the parking garage is going to cost more than the hinterlands. That's for sure. Let's see here. A new bill proposes target AI-driven pricing. Here's what it means for travelers. Legislatures around the country are trying to pass bills that keep AI-driven pricing. In other words, AI knows it's you, so they're going to charge you a different price because they think that you will pay this price, usually a higher price than somebody else would pay. So travel companies are really against it because they do a lot of dynamic pricing. AI helps with that. They want to continue to do that. This is going to be an interesting thing to play out. Los Angeles coastline is under study for possible national park status. From Santa Monica to Venice, beaches along Los Angeles County coastline are being evaluated for possible inclusion in the national park system. They have already had a virtual meeting. They have another one planned for March the 11th, and they're taking public comments online. I'm not sure how that would work. But because those are public beaches, I'm sure they would still continue to be public beaches. But how interesting that parts of Los Angeles County beaches might end up in the national park system. And let's see here. Let's wind down the last story I have for you today. Destination Hollywood, first ever Dolly Parton themed flight to take off later this year. Allegiant Air has created a flight from Orlando to Dollywood, which is actually to Knoxville, Tennessee, is the closest airport. They are going to serve refreshments and make it a Dolly Parton-themed flight. The flight number, get this, is 925. 925, Dolly Parton.
Yeah, 9 to 5.
Cute.
That's cute.
So anyways, you can get on the Dolly Parton flight. The only downside is that it's on Allegiant Airways. It's only from Knoxville to Orlando, so it can't be that long. Anyway, kind of fun. Flight 925, celebrating Dolly Parton. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the travel guys. You got to go easy on Allegiant. I mean, that's the branding name for the stadium that the Raiders play in Las Vegas. Allegiant Stadium looks like a giant Darth Vader Star Wars building. It's so cool. The only thing that's kind of weird is the name. Okay, we are the travel and entertainment guys, and our favorite place to go for lobster, as you probably know by now if you listen any regularity, Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. Mark, what's your favorite meal at Rudy's?
I love the halibut. Of course, I start with the clam chowder and the halibut, and the piece of fish is usually so big that I eat about half of it and take the other half home with me. So for $35, I get two meals.
You know, the thing with the halibut, a lot of times you go, a halibut, that's just a regular old piece of fish. I mean, how fancy can that be? But the sauce that they put on the fish and the way they cook it and how it's presented is makes it, you wouldn't know it was halibut if you didn't, for the halibut of it.
Are they open yet? Well, maybe not. Yeah. Otherwise, I was going to leave.
4 o'clock. Yeah, I know. Lunch is Monday through Tuesday through Friday, but not on the weekends. But I was there the other day. I decided to go by and just have an afternoon cocktail, say hi to my friends there. And I got there at a little bit before 4. Pretty well, I'll just go into the bar. There were people lined up, Mark. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't, I don't even think, it might have been a Friday. I don't know. People were lined up to go in and have their meals at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know any restaurant where people line up before the doors open. But Rudy's Hideaway is a classic. You should give it a try. It's just off of Highway 50 in Hazel. They got more than just halibut. They've got lobster, they've got shrimp, and they've got every kind of steak that you could possibly want. And all of it is prepared and is scrumptious. So tell them the travel guys sent you. Rudy's Hideaway, just off Highway 50 in Hazel. Okay, coming up next here on the Travel Guys, we talk about all the different ways that restaurants and companies are trying to find another way to get another dime, another dollar, another 50 cents out of you. We'll talk about what you should do about that when we return right here with the Travel Guys. Live and in living radio, once again, Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys. You know, it seems like every time I pick up a bill, it's almost to the point where I don't even want to look at it to see all the bogus charges and stuff that show up. It seems to be a trend, don't you think?
I do, and it's a little alarming because I think it's based on the theory that people don't pay that much attention.
You got that right.
And that you can put pretty much whatever you want on there, and it'll get by a lot of the time. And you can, if you're willing to put up with the grief of the occasional chronic complainer, why, then you can get away with this. The latest example is two restaurants, one in Las Vegas, one in Seattle. And so I do this segment intentionally to shame them for what they're doing. And I strongly encourage you, if you run into situations like the ones I'm about to share with you here, that you go on social media. Many of the businesses have their own site that you can post to. And if you think they've done wrong by you, that you point it out to people who might be potential customers, because those things can be very, very, very damaging to a restaurant or a hotel. Especially if you've got a legitimate situation, you'll decide here for yourself about these two. The first one is in Las Vegas and involves the Dolby Live Theater at Park MGM. These people were attending a concert there. They bought two margaritas, $25 each. Okay, so that's a ridiculous price, but it's Las Vegas on the Strip, and, you know, you expected that. Two bottles of water were $8.75 each.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. That was four bottles of water. I'm sorry. And then there was an automatic gratuity of $27.58. So they're up to $153. And then they look on the bill and there is an administrative fee of $26, which brought the bill up to $181. So for two margaritas and four bottles of water, they paid $181. Do the math. You can get that cheaper just about everywhere.
And that doesn't even include the price of the ticket to see whoever it was that you went to see at the Dolby Theater.
And this guy says, you know, I have the financial means to buy what I want, but I was shocked. He said, this is just outright price gouging. And he said, what the heck? That's not the word he used. What the heck is a $26 administrative fee? So that is the Dolby Live Theater at Park MGM in Las Vegas. Bring your wallet and grab your ankles. Let's go up north and find another one. This is at the Edgewater Restaurant, which is a longtime, fairly popular restaurant on the water near Pike's Place Market in downtown Seattle. So these folks went in, and they had a couple of appetizers and a cocktail beverage, and their bill came. And it was $79.50, so not too terribly ridiculous. And then under the subtotal is a line, and these people sent a picture of the bill. Large party, 20% is added on. Now, it's not uncommon. I'm a person who deals with large groups into places. It's not uncommon for a restaurant to tell you ahead of time there will be a 20% gratuity added on to the bill because you're a large party. And so that's pretty standard. Except for in this situation, the number of people in the party was two. So
large party.
Yeah. $15 at 20% add-on added $15.90 to their bill. When they asked the restaurant about it, the manager said it's a pier maintenance fee, helps ownership maintain the integrity of the overwater facility so that you can have a unique experience of dining over the water in downtown Seattle. However, I did a little homework on this, and the maintenance for the piers in Seattle are done by the state of Washington and the city of Seattle. And there is no direct or indirect cost to taxpayers. I mean, obviously, they pay taxes and it comes out of those funds. But there's no collection made in order to supplement the upkeep of that. In other words, it's complete and total BS.
Liar, liar, pants on fire, tell them so.
That would be at the Edgewater Hotel and in their restaurant, in their bar in downtown Seattle. And the other one was the Dolby Theater in downtown Las Vegas. Again, when you run into these situations, I strongly recommend to you, I mean, this is just outright price gouging. That's what it is. They're hoping that you either won't care, you're too drunk to notice, or whatever, and they'll get away with it. And what happens, though, is that if they get enough pushback, from people, and it becomes too much of a public thing, then sometimes these people go back and reconsider these things. So if you want to make change, why, that's the way you do it.
If you have experienced this, if you know of a restaurant, a hotel where you have seen this, give us a shout out at travelguysradio.com right there on the comment page. And, you know, if we can verify what you're saying, we will shame them on the radio.
Yep. Yep. Hey, listen, we can't change their bottom line. But if I tell you and you tell somebody else and that somebody else tells somebody else, and along the way there were eight people in a party that said, let's just find another place to drink, then that, you know, you're not going to put somebody out of business overnight. But over time, customer unfriendly service and policies will do in more businesses than not. And if nothing else, you can put a dent in their bottom line. You, as a businessman, you can't tell me that it doesn't upset a business when the money you would have spent there, you spend across the street. So that's the way that you fight back, is you fight back with your wallet and you take advantage of social media. And of course, there's always the temptation on social media to sometimes to blow things out of proportion. But when you run into things like this, administrative fees and things like that, then it's time to call these people out on this stuff. And frankly, it's time to take your business somewhere else, because that's the way that you can change the situation, is let other people know so they don't go there, and don't go there yourself. Anyway, that's our Smarter Traveler segment for today.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Lots of people consider the Cape Cod area to be one of the greatest places to visit in these United States. But right here on the West Coast, we have a Cape Cod area of our own, which is a lot less expensive to travel through. The Oregon coast and the California redwoods up on the Northern California coast is one of the most spectacular coastlines on the planet, and it's not as expensive as the one on the East Coast. Sports Leisure Vacations has a trip in mid-June along the Oregon coast. You fly to Portland and then make your way back by motor coach to Sacramento, so it's one short flight to Portland, and then a seven-day trip back along the coast. You're going to get an opportunity to ride in a dune buggy, go for a cruise in Newport Harbor. You're going to ride a jet boat in Agnes that actually delivers the U.S. mail every day. And you'll get an opportunity to meet Mr. Tree. That's who I call our guide at the California Redwoods, and he really is Mr. Tree. Someday I'm going to see him, and there's going to be a branch growing out of him. That's how dedicated he is to the California Redwoods. So if you'd like a great trip down the California coast, give Sports Leisure Vacations a call or go to sportsleisure.com, keyword Oregon Coast, and maybe we'll see you on June the 15th when our trip through the Oregon Coast departs Sacramento.
Pretty exciting, pretty exciting. I tell you, you guys always coming up with something new. All right, Mark, let's dig into this United Airlines making some changes. We talked a little bit about this before we went on the air, and, you know, for people that were frequent flyers and... Mm-hmm. For a long time, you used to get, depending on what time you flew, you could get free upgrades, which was a nice thing. And as you indicated, not so much anymore.
No, not so much. And airlines really have tilted their frequent traveler programs towards their credit cards, because if you've got a United Airlines credit card, and you've got that in order to maximize your earning potential with United when you fly, and it's pretty likely you're going to take that card out of your wallet at some point in time in your life and start putting charges on it. And then, of course, United Airlines benefits from that. United sells the miles to the credit card company whose name is on the card. So that's how they make money. And the credit card company makes money when you charge things that are not directed at United Airlines, because they don't have to buy miles from Gunther's Ice Cream or somebody else. So now United has done something that really is tilting the playing field. They are adjusting their awards chart in a couple of ways. First of all, people with a United credit card are now going to earn more United miles, and people without a United credit card, when you buy your ticket, are going to earn fewer United miles. So whether you're a member of their Mileage Plus and you get miles for actually flying, now we're talking about miles for buying your ticket. So if you bought your ticket on an American Express card that wasn't United affiliated, then obviously you're not going to get miles for that. United wants you to use your United card for that. And so they're upping the ante and giving you more back. And on the flip side, they're cranking down the number of miles that people who don't use United card can earn. And if you don't have a United card and you're buying a basic economy ticket, you will get zero in mileage earning. So it's not as earth-shattering as it might seem, but it's a gentle nudge in a particular direction. You can expect all of the other airlines will follow this in a matter of I can't believe they haven't done it already. So in a matter of weeks or months, other carriers will do this. What it really sort of means is that if you are fond of, if you fly on one airline pretty much exclusively, then you should have their credit card, because that's how you're going to maximize your earnings. Now, if you only fly once or twice a year, then it's probably not going to make that much difference. You're not beholden to the airline for the frequent flyer miles or something. But if you're somebody who plays that game, then in order to play it to the max now, you're going to have a United card. And in order to do it with Delta, you'll have to have a Delta card, etc. I'm a tour operator, so in my office are credit cards for everything from Alaska to Delta to American. Even if we don't fly those airlines frequently, we know that when we do pay for a group's tickets, that we want to be able to use the affiliated card as long as the cost of the card doesn't exceed the value of the return.
All right. Well, keep in mind now, if you are using their cards, then make sure to pay it off right away, because the interest on those cards is exorbitant, and it'll turn out to not be a good deal in the long run if you end up having to pay all those service fees.
That might be the best. That might be the best tip of the whole segment right there.
Yeah. amen.
It's time to bring on our, I don't know exactly how to do this, our poodle gal, the poodle booked, Sydney Schellinger, travel expert, back with us here on the Travel Guys. Mark, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, Sydney has been roaming the planet again, right, Sydney?
Always.
Yeah, and she's made a trip to Egypt, so that's our topic for today, and we have brought in our own Egypt expert here for the Travel Guys, Clayton Whitehead. So, Clayton, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thanks, Mark and Tom and Sydney. It's great to be here.
So, Sydney, you took off on a trip to Egypt. Tell us why and how it went, and we'll throw in a few questions along the way here.
Yes, I did an Egyptian river cruise for New Year's, which I will tell you is actually the best time to go to Egypt, because it's more mild, it's not as hot, and you can really kind of enjoy everything. It was an amazing experience. We actually went to the Grand Egyptian Museum, which recently opened in November. So one of the first to see it. And it is an amazing museum where all of King Tutankhamun's inside of his burial is there. So all of the gold, his mummy, everything from inside. And it is absolutely beautiful how it was laid out. You could spend a day just there. And then we flew to Luxor and did an Egyptian river cruise, which is an amazing way to experience Egypt, because you're on the Nile, and that's how they would be using that's how they would see these temples in ancient Egyptian times. So we saw, I think, 10 temples. I even did a hot air balloon over the Valley of the Kings at 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was worth the wake up call. And even sand duned down the Sahara Desert. So I just jam packed everything that you could ever do in Egypt into 12 days.
Sydney, this is Clayton, and Mark was being very polite and saying I was an expert on Egypt. What I am is a student of Western civilization and a novice Egyptologist, but I'm planning my me vacation, which means not a group tour, but something I do for me. My me vacation in 2027 became official just yesterday, and I'm going to be going to Egypt in August for the eclipse. I know it's going to be hotter than Hades, but it's the eclipse. And I've been following total lunar eclipses around the around our country for the last decade or so. And I want to hear a little bit more about your cruise. So you started at Luxor. Did you go all the way to Abu Simbel?
We did. So you can take the river cruise to Aswan. And then what you do is you hop on a 20-minute flight to Abu Simbel, which is so interesting because basically what they did is when they dammed and made Lake Nasser, they actually had to move Abu Simbel, the full-on temple, up about, 100 yards because the way the lake is now, the temple would be completely underwater. So the government moved everything brick by brick so it is exactly how it looked back then, but just further up so that it isn't completely underwater, which I thought was just amazing.
We're talking about the tomb of Ramesses II here, who, according to legend and Bible lore, is the one who whose daughter found Moses in the bulrushes, and Ramesses II ended up raising Moses as his son. So a lot of Christian history and Egyptology combine in this one site.
Tom, we should just probably let them talk a little bit here, because otherwise we don't want to embarrass them with our knowledge on this particular subject.
We'll kind of back off. All right. Yeah. By the way, if you're just joining us, this is the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, and today Clayton, along with Sydney Schellinger with the poodle booked it. Travel experience to Egypt is what we're in the middle of here. Take it away, gang.
Tell us some about the amenities that were available on your cruise ship. Or was it a ship, or was it more like a yacht?
It was a ship. So there was it holds about 150 people on board. So you got an experience of being with everyone. And what I loved about the ship was being able to have that sail time. I will say a helpful hint is to make sure you do at least a 7-day river cruise, or you will be overwhelmed by how much information you get if you're doing the 3-4 day cruise, unless you're just stuck on time. Because you're getting so much information in a short amount of time. Without having that downtime, it can't stick anymore. We had also every day at lunch, we were given Egyptian food to try at a family style meal at the and they kind of told us what it was and how it kind of introduced it, as well as shows almost every night where we had the Egyptian dancers who came in and did, some traditional dancing and things like that. And so it's really a great way to experience the culture of Egypt as well.
So at the end of the day, what was the best thing?
So many things. I would say that I loved the fact that one of our river crews did a after hours tour to the Luxor Temple. So we were able to go there without anyone else. It was just our tour group, and we were able to see the Sphinx walkway at night completely lit up because it connects the Luxor Temple with the Karnak Temple, which are two temples about a mile and a half away from each other. It's almost 1,200 Sphinx that line this walkway. And it's just so amazing to see at night when there's no one there, all lit up, and just really understanding the amazingness of over 5,000 years of history. Like, as you know, the United States, we're 250 years old this year. And just to think about how ancient and how much this civilization has grown and learned and how advanced they were as a people back then, and everything they were able to create with just their hands and just the most basic, simple tools. You will be amazed by everything you see.
Well, I can't wait. It sounds amazing. I was giggly yesterday because this eclipse trip has fallen into place for me. A tour operator friend of mine in Salt Lake is putting it together, and I'm going to tag along. And now talking to you, I'm even more giggly. So this is great.
Sydney, you mentioned on the cruise not to make the mistake of that to take the longer cruises as opposed to the shorter one. Do you have any other Egypt river cruise tips that you would like to share with potential travelers?
I will say, I specifically picked the cruise line we went because of how they set up the trip. We are one of only three ships that go up to the Dandar Temple. And so instead of having to drive 2 to 3 hours from Luxor, we sailed up that way. And that was my favorite temple. It was so beautiful. You can actually go up the steps, 2 to 3 stories high, as the Egyptians did. You can walk up the same path and see everything. And it's the detail in this temple was breathtaking. And being able to see it before all the buses got in was amazing. Because of that, we weren't on the same schedule as all the other river cruises that started on the same day as us. So we missed people along the way. It wasn't as packed everywhere we went. And so that sort of like delicate planning really helps when you are going, you know, to all of these, to places that everyone else is going to, right? Like, so all of the river cruises are going to those same places, those temples, the, you know, Temple of Hathor, the Komombo Temple, and places like that. So just trying to find those experiences to elevate it is really great. Now, I know we were going to talk about, you know, things to think about or like just to like look out for or just to pay attention to, I guess.
My question is to the both of you, and you somewhat alluded to avoiding the crowds. Is Egypt and the areas that you went to, is it suffering from you know, too much tourism, too many people? And Clayton, you're going at a time that's probably even going to be, you know, heightened for a number of travelers.
Yeah, I'll start. So, you know, Egypt is currently still trying to get back into its swing. And it's honestly, it is relying heavily on tourism. And it definitely, you know, it loves everyone to come and visit. They are definitely just a wonderful people who are ready to like get back into it. They are, you know, everyone was always afraid to go to Egypt because of its proximity to the Middle East, but I never felt unsafe there. They are very much focused on making sure that their tourists feel safe while they're there. The only time I felt uncomfortable is I will tell you that their salespeople, when you go to the markets or when you're walking through the temples, there are a lot of people who sell you while you're walking through the marketplace. And they can be a little aggressive if you're not prepared for it. They will try to get you to come and look at their stuff. And so you just kind of have to be prepared to just say no. We did have, you know, I feel like it was more for our own show, but a security guard with us. And so if we felt uncomfortable, we could tell them and they would definitely like tell them to just completely back off. But I never really had to use that. It was just there to make me feel more comfortable.
And as for me, Tom, I know that going to Egypt during the eclipse is going to be crazy town, but I want to go anyway. So that's just it. I'll own it.
Okay. That's how you have to be sometimes, you know?
Sydney and Clayton, thank you for taking us on a little bit of a trip to Egypt. It's not a place that's on my bucket list, but it's on a lot of people's bucket lists. And so, Sydney, it sounds like you had a wonderful time there. Sydney has a travel agency, and she can help you book individual travel if you wish. It's called The Poodle Booked It. You can find a link at travelguysradio.com. And, of course, Clayton is with Sports Leisure Vacations. We do group trips to exotic destinations, and my guess is that once Clayton comes back from Egypt, that he will be working on something to go back over there. Who knows? Maybe Sydney and Clayton will put their heads together and come up with something. Thank you both for your time today.
Thank you.
All right, my friends, we're here to make you a smarter traveler every Saturday at 11 a.m. We'll be back next week and try again, Mark.
And remember to dance like nobody's watching. Have a great week, and we will see you next Saturday, 11 o'clock, on The Travel Guys.
Never has the time to turn around.